Well, thank you, Sister Johnson. That's a serious message and song right there. Watching some of you young people, I'm not sure you listened to it as close as you should have. It's going to be an awful time for some folks that ask to have the book searched again, ask for a second chance when there is none. I appreciate that message and song. You know, in the midst of the election, in the midst of the pandemic and all of that business, let's not lose sight of the fact that's still the most important thing. Reaching souls, getting the gospel out, amen? It's okay to keep praying for God to work a miracle on the miracle on the election thing. He could. But it's a pretty big miracle when you're asking the crooks to investigate the crooks. Anybody understand what I just said? That's about it. But God's will be done. Amen? Tonight we have the privilege of having Brother Jonathan and Sister Rochelle Lyons with us. Baptist Missions to Forgotten People. Sending Church is, of course, there in Walkertown, where Dr. Bobby Robertson pastored for so many years, our good friend. And Brother Lyons has helped us out here some before, and we appreciate him. And, of course, connected also with some of the other missionaries that we know and continue to support. And I'm going to let him explain his mission, what he's doing. And I believe the whole family is here. Is that right, Brother Lyons? Just y'all. Okay. I'll let you come on up if you would, and I'm asking to bring the message tonight. And folks, as you look at our mission gauge over there, we're running out of time on it, so let's do the best we can and be as faithful as we can. When it's all said and done, it's what Sister Johnson was singing about. We're getting the names in the book or not, amen? Brother Lyons, you come on as God leads you.
Thank you, preacher. It's our joy to be with you tonight and have my wife with me. She doesn't get to travel with me very much, but she's with me this week, and so it's a joy to have her with me. We are officially empty nesters now, so we have no children at home, and we have grandchildren, so no better than that, amen? It's a joy to be able to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. My wife and I served in Spain for over 25 years as missionaries. I'm a missionary kid, grew up in the continent of Liberia in Africa, and then the country of Spain, and God called us back after we got married. And we served there for almost 25 years, began the Azuqueca Baptist Church outside of Madrid. And God has now led us the last 8 years, been with Baptist Missions Forgotten Peoples in Jacksonville. I came on as the European African Field Administrator, helping our missionaries. There's some about 26 couples that we work with in Europe and Africa. And of course, we have the Morgans we've worked with for many years, even before we came with BMFP. And so we're closely with them and other missionaries that you support. Of course, the Keith family is also with the BMFP, came with us 2 years ago. And so we're excited to have them be part of our missions family as we send out missionaries around the world. And recently, last 3 years, they asked me to come be the vice president. And as Dr. Birch puts it, he creates the vice, and I have to call it solve the problem. So sometimes the way it works, but it's a joy to work with Dr. and Ms. Birch. He sends their regards. I continue to pray for them. He's not been in good health, and neither has Miss Alice. So I know that they would appreciate you holding up in prayer as they're battling some things that are going on in physically in their life. And so thank you so much for that. It's been a joy to be able to spend some time with Brother Parsons, and I think it's my third time I've been able to come down to Landmark and just spend some time with the students, and we'll be here Tuesday and Wednesday at the college. And if we can help you anyway, we'll be available to encourage you folks anyway in the college, and those of you around, come by and see us, and we're glad to talk to you about missions and what we can do to help reach a world with the gospel of Lord Jesus Christ. But it's our joy to be with you tonight, and I just want to share some things from the Word of God to encourage you in the area of missions. So if you take your Bibles and turn to the book of 2 Corinthians, the book of 2 Corinthians in chapter number 8. I was debating on praying and asking the Lord what I could share with you, and coming to Landmark is kind of like going to Gospelite. You know, you just really don't know what to say because great people are before you. And I remember going to Gospelite, and and spending some time with Brother Bobby whenever we come in on furlough. And it's just a joy to sit down with him and glean some knowledge and understanding and learn some things that I needed to learn. He was very helpful to us in all those years we were on the mission field. And Gospel Light's doing really well. Brother Frank and Brother Matt Morrison are doing well there at Gospel Light. Just spent some time with them a few weeks ago and continue to pray for Gospel Light, and we'll continue to move forward. But tonight I want to share some things about missions. That's on my heart. I am a missionary kid, grew up on the mission field, and missions have been a part of my life since I can, before I can remember anything. And it's a joy to be able to reach the world with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and to be involved and be able to impact lives for the cause of Christ. And I'm encouraging you tonight, if God is dealing with you any way, shape, or form in the way of missions, surrendering your life for the cause of Christ, let me encourage you to understand that we are in dire times. Now is the time to take that step of faith and let God use you in a way that you could never imagine. I spoke to the teens this morning, and understand that we serve a wonderful, awesome, possible God. There's nothing impossible with our Lord Jesus Christ. And you may be sitting here tonight and say, well, Brother Lyons, what in the world could I do for the cause of missions? Man, let's just give that opportunity to God and let him show you what he can do with you with a life that's surrendered and yielded to him. God wants to use us to reach a world with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, a very familiar portion of Scripture, if I would have a title, I would say the foundation for missions. The foundation for missions, as we have a local church, as we have all the programs, you have buses, you have teen church, and of course you have your missions program, but all of it evolves around getting the gospel to a lost and dying world, whether it be here or whether it be in the regions beyond or other places, other people groups. But the focus of every ministry, every local church ministry, is to reach a world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Or at least that's what it should be. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, the Bible tells us, moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction and the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power are by record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. Verse 5, and this they did, not as we'd hope, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and to us by the will of God. Some very important scripture verses here that deal with the idea of complete surrender to the call and the will of God for our life. As we're talking tonight about missions, let me help you understand that God is using in our understanding, a small group of churches. They were struggling. They had gone through some very dire straits of needs, and God was using them as an example of what God can do through a group of people who was totally surrendered and committed to the Lord Jesus Christ, and using them as an example to a church that was not doing what they ought to be doing. God loves a church that has a mission mind attitude. God loves a church that's doing all they can to reach a world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. God wants to use you, and God wants to use me. He doesn't want to leave anybody out. Everybody is a possible candidate for being used in the service of the Lord Jesus Christ. But then you would ask, well, the Lions, why are there not more people surrendering? Every year we have candidate training around the second week of June, and we see every year the numbers are coming down as far as people that are willing to take that step of faith for the cause of missions. It's not just BMFP, but we talked to the other mission boards around the country, and they're having experience in the same problem of those that were surrendered to the cause of Christ. It's something that's on our hearts, and we pray every morning. We spend from about 9 to 10 o'clock every morning, Monday through Friday, as a group in the office. We pray for laborers, praying that God would raise up somebody to go to the regions beyond, that God would prick a young person's heart, or prick a couple, or prick a young lady, that they would say, hey, I'll be the one, I'll go, I'll fill in the gap, I'll do what's necessary to reach a world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. But many times the reason why people who are not in the position or not willing to go or to serve is because they're not in a position that God can use them. As we travel, we're in different colleges all over the country, myself and Brother Quitter, who's been here as well, and we deal with young people, we talk to them, we try to encourage them in their life and serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And one of the things we've come to understand that the world has such a hold on young people that it's difficult to let it go and let God serve them. So I'd ask you, are you in a position tonight, if God would call you, if God would lay on your heart to go to the mission field tonight, would you be in a position that God could use you? Would you be in such a state that God would say, hey, you're the one I want to use and be available to serve Him? There are three areas that I want to just share quickly with you tonight that are, I believe are the basis or the foundation for missions. Number one, we see in verse Number one of 2 Corinthians chapter 8, it tells us, moreover, brethren, we do to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. If we're going to accomplish anything for Christ, or we're going to put ourselves in the position of being used for Christ, you must understand that we must, number one, be in the faith. We must, number one, be in the faith. He said, moreover, brethren, we do to wit of the grace of God. Well, where would we be without the grace of God in our life? Where would we be standing tonight if it was not for the grace of God that has been shed on our life and God changed our life? I remember as an 11-year-old missionary kid going to the country of Spain, I was drafted. I didn't have a choice. I went with my parents. I didn't have a choice in the matter. But I'm so glad that God used them and called them to the mission field of Spain, because that's where, as an 11-year-old missionary kid, I found Christ as my Savior. And it wasn't an idea that I was good enough. It was an idea that I needed Christ. And God changed my life. Understanding that being in the faith is the only way to heaven. You say, well, Elias, I thought you were talking about missions tonight. Well, I would answer that. Don't you realize that the message of God's saving grace is what missions is all about? Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. It's going to people with the gospel. It's sharing the message of salvation. It's allowing the Holy Spirit to use us as instruments and drawing people into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. He said, well, Elias, I just couldn't go to a mission field. I couldn't go learn a language. I couldn't eat all those strange foods. I couldn't deal with all that those missionaries deal with. You could if God called you. Amen. You could if you allow God to use you. I've heard missionaries, I've seen missionaries on the field, and they give their testimony. They say, well, Elias, the last place I'd ever thought about going was the mission field, because I just thought I could never do it. And God is using them in such a wonderful way. All this brings me to the question I would like to ask you tonight. Do you know that you will be with the Lord if you die tonight? Well, Brother Elias, that's for the mission field. No, the mission field begins right here. It begins right here with people who are hearing the gospel, and it begins with God working in our hearts through salvation, but then calling us into service for Him. But there's more. Not being in the faith the only way to heaven, but being in the faith is the only basis for Christian living. You go through the New Testament and you'll find the same foundational requirement every step of the Christian life. In every case, you must be born again. If you're going to do anything for Christ, if you're going to accomplish anything in your life, if you're going to do great strides for the Lord, you must be born again. It's all about our relationship with Him. And folks, just understand that is the most greatest relationship we'll ever have. Baptism means nothing if you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. I will share some things with you tonight and understand. Look at from my perspective. I'm a missionary kid who grew up in Africa, and a lot of things I didn't know. I remember, the first time I remember ever coming to America, my only thing I knew about America was that they had good ice cream. That's the only thing I knew. And we came across a ship, took us 14 days on a freighter to get to the New York Harbor. And we came in, it was late at night. We arrived there at New York, and And we were coming home on this thing called furlough. And I understood it's where we're supposed to go to different churches and visit and all this type of stuff. My dad was going to be preaching. I thought, well, that's pretty cool. We can do that. So as we begin this furlough time that I really didn't understand all was about, we would go. And of course, as good missionary kids, we'd always sit on the front row. And dad would preach. And we would, you know, have to be the look nice and all that kind of stuff. And that good. If not, we got it. When we got in the car, we knew all the missionary kids know what we're talking about. And I remember sitting there watching the show, because I didn't know what was going on. And I would hear my dad preach, and people would come forward, and some lady or young man would take them aside. They'd fill out a paper, and they would go in this little hole in the back. And I thought, man, that is neat. What in the world is that about? And I'd sneak around after church, and I'd look into the baptistry, and I'd touch that water. I'm like, man, it's this warm water. It's a pretty neat place. So after going through several scenarios of that, watching what's going on, I got this idea. I'm 9-10 years old, and I thought, if I go forward, I sign a piece of paper, I get to go in the pool. That's cool. So I made my plan, and I began to work my plan. And I would come forward, I would say my little prayer, I fill out a little piece of paper, and I would go into the baptismal pool, and I'd wait, and I'd pick the best ones. I picked Holland Park Baptist Church. That was a good place to get baptized. I saw that nice baptistry. I was baptized 10 times. I mean, I was so wet, I could never get dry. But it didn't mean a thing to me. But I remember that night in Torrejon, Spain, and God pointed his finger in my heart and said, Jonathan, if you died, you'd go straight to hell. That night, my dad took me aside my bed and led me to Christ. Changed my life. My dad said, well, son, now that you're saved, you got to get baptized. I said, yeah, I know all about that. So it was time to have the baptismal service, and they took me and they rolled out this old iron tank. Ugly. The water was ice cold. Got in there and dumped me. I thought I'd freeze to death before I got out of that thing. But that time, it made a difference. Why? Because of my relationship with Jesus Christ. You see, those things we do in life without being saved has no meaning. Church membership is hollow if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Even in a matter of giving, it becomes an empty and vain thing if you don't know Christ as our Savior. Anybody can put some money in the plate, but it's not the money, it's the heart behind the money. It's a desire to invest in the souls of men around the world. So you must be in the faith. Pick any area of service, any area, and the requirement is you must be born again. And that's because being in the faith is foundational to everything in the Christian life, including our faith promise giving. Our relationship with Jesus Christ is going to determine our faith promise giving. So, first of all, the foundation is our faith. Number two, not only must we be in the faith, but I think a close second is we must be in the family. We must be in the family. The first one says, and we do to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. Lord has allowed us to be involved in church planning over the years. We began the Athukeka Baptist Church, and one thing I believe, that everything that's done in ministry ought to be done through the local church. That's where God blesses. That's where God's hand of promotion is. That's where God works through, is the local church. And I believe that every person that's saved ought to be a member of a good fundamental Baptist church. That's in my heart. It's in my blood. Why? Because that's where we get equipped to do the work of the ministry. We see the examples of the saints, and we've already seen in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 2, verse 41, and they were gladly received the word and were baptized, and the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Well, wouldn't that be nice to see that happen again? As the people receive Christ, they're added and joining and growing, and that's what about ministry is all about. We see in Galatians chapter 1, Paul talking to the churches and to the brethren and to the members of the church of Galatia. We see in Philippians chapter 1, Paul and Timothy as the servants of Jesus Christ to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi, talking to the local churches. Why? Because that's where church people are supposed to be. That's where we grow, and that's where we mature, and that's where we exercise our gifts in the Lord Jesus Christ. The New Testament example is simply this. Those who were won by saving faith in Christ were obedient unto baptism and became part of the local Bible-believing church. Are you in the faith? Are you in the family? You may be here tonight, and you say, "But Lyons, I just want to come, and I want to hit and miss." Hey, there's something called accountability in our lives as Christians. Our church family is our accountability. When my wife and I got married 33 years ago, I'm accountable to her. She's accountable to me. When I joined Gospel Light Baptist Church, I was accountable to Gospel Light Baptist Church and Brother Bobby. When I joined BMFP, I'm accountable to them. You can't get away from accountability. Actually, that's kind of a good thing, necessary thing for our lives. If you read through the New Testament, you're going to come across a very startling truth. We're a whole lot more concerned about who gets the credit than God is. That's why it's so important to understand the exercise of the ministry. Who does the work of evangelism? The church does. Who does the work of baptizing? The church does. Who does the teaching and preaching? The church does. Who does the giving? It's the church that does that. Who does the work of the mission? It's the church. Why? Because if we did it for ourselves, we want to see who would pat us on the back. If you see here in chapter 8, if you look at the pronouns, you're going to notice something very interesting. In verse number 2, how that in great trial of affliction and abundance of their joy and their deep poverty, abounding to the riches of their liberality. Verse number 3, and to their power, bearing record yet beyond their power, and they were willing. Who is they? The church. See, we work together as a family to accomplish what God wants to accomplish through us to reach a world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. But if you're not part of the family, you're missing out on the greatest blessing. You're not able to get involved. You're not able to be plugged in to what's going on. So be part of the family. Get involved. Do something. I tell our people when they're at the church in Athukeka, I tell them, man, don't come in and sit down. You come in to serve. You come in to help others. You come in to be a blessing to other people. If garbage needs to be taken out, take the garbage out. If you need to clean a toilet, clean a toilet. But come in and do something to serve others. It's about serving the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's because in order to work for God, you must be part of the family. That's the order that God has set up. We have many people that come to the mission. I'm sure other people, they want to come in and they want to bypass the local church. I'm like, no. I think Pastor Carter understands that if there's a problem with any of the missionaries, the first person we're going to call is the pastor. Why? Because they're responsible. The local church is responsible for your missionaries. The Baptist missions, the Forgotten People, doesn't send anybody to the mission field. We assist the local churches. They send their missionaries to the mission field. We don't have the authority. We're not a church. But we can assist. We can help. We can aid. We can do all we can do to help you accomplish what God wants you to do as a church to reach a world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Are you in the faith? You must be in the family. Last of all tonight, just for a few moments, I want to share with you that you must be among the faithful. I've traveled many miles. Usually I travel about 50,000 miles a year, plus going overseas. Of course, this year has not happened. But I see people in good churches. And they go to church. They say they're saved. But faithfulness seems to be a problem. You can go to church. You can be in the services and still not be faithful. You can just... You can complete with your duties, doesn't mean you're faithful. Your faithfulness, number one, is to the Lord. Then your faithfulness is those around you and to your church and to your family. Faithfulness. I'll tell people all the time that I see one major requirement in Christian service, and that requirement is that we be found faithful. I may not be able to sing, I may not be able to preach very well, I may not be able to do other things, but I can be faithful. You can be faithful. You can be faithful in your Bible reading, you can be faithful in your testimony, you can be faithful in your dress, you can be faithful in all those areas for the Lord. Learn to be faithful. Just be faithful. Where does that come from? We see chapter 8, verse number 3. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift to take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and to us by the will of God. Faithfulness. This group of people had a reason not to be faithful. Everything was going against them. I mean, we think we had the coronavirus as bad, but they had death threats on their life. Things were not going well for this church. And if anyone had a reason, within humanly speaking, to quit, it was this church. But they said, well, we're not going to quit. We're not going to give up. We're not going to turn back. We're just going to stay faithful and serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And the day and age in which we live, when the world is against us, things don't go the way we planned or what we hope, just be faithful and serve the Lord Jesus Christ. It comes, number one, it starts with a willing heart. Everything in Christian life is dependent on God's people having a willing heart. Are you willing to be faithful not only in your giving or not only in your service, not only in your Christian life, but willing to be faithful, found faithful as you serve Him? And it carries over, our faithfulness carries over into our giving. Whether it be giving of praise or giving of our resources, it stems from a willing heart. A willing heart. For to their power by record, yea, beyond their power, they were willing of themselves. God put a willingness in this group of people. They would carry out their faithful service to the men of those who were serving. It comes from a willing heart, but then it goes a step forward. It comes from an obedient heart. One thing is to be willing. It can almost be easy to be willing. But when it comes to being obedient, that's a bigger step of faith. Just do what God wants you to do. In the Bible, there are four levels of giving. Every one of us involved is involved one level or the other. There's those who give below the tithe. The Bible calls them a thief and a robber in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 8. Will a man rob God? Yeah, he robbed me, but you say, wherein have he robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Then there are those who give exactly the tithe, and they're just kind of holding the fort, and I'm just doing what I'm supposed to do. I'm not going to go any further. I'm just going to be right there. And then there are those who give above the tithe and give the offerings and help out with different projects. Then there are those who give by grace or by faith, allowing God to do things in our life and to see things they'd not be able to see if it had not been for faith. I'll tell this story. I grew up in a missionary home, and so my dad began Faith Promise at the church he started there in Torrejon. And I was listening to my dad, and he was explaining these things to us, and he said, you just need to trust God. You give, and then God will provide. You give, and God will provide. You give, and God will provide. And I thought, okay, I'll just try that and see how it works. At that time, he was giving me an allowance about, I think it was about $25 a month. I helped him a lot around the church and stuff, so he helped me out a little bit. And so it came time to give our Faith Promise card. And so I said, well, we'll see how this goes. And so I wrote in the whole amount that he gave me as my allowance. And so we got home that night, and I know you're not supposed to know who gives these Faith Promise, but he knew who I was and knew what number I wrote down. He knew my handwriting, which you could hardly read. And so he said, he got home, and he says, son, I need to talk to you. I said, yes, sir. He said, now, I see here on this Faith Promise card that you gave the whole amount that I'm giving you as allowance. I said, yes, sir. And he said, well, how do you expect to do that? I said, well, Dad, didn't you tell me that if I gave and that God would supply? He said, yes, I did. I said, okay, I'm giving. I'm expecting you to raise my allowance. It worked. I don't know if that's the way it ought to be done, but it worked. He couldn't argue with me. That's why I did exactly what he told me to do. But you know what? Through all the years of serving God, over 33 years now in the ministry, God has never failed. We've given our faith promise. We've been giving by faith all these years. We try to help everywhere we can. And I'm like most of you, when we do our budget at the end of the month, it does not add up. But I can promise you that God has never failed in all these years. Can I help you to understand that just be faithful. Amen. Just learn to be faithful in your service to the Lord. You cannot outgive God. You can't outdo God. You can't sneak up on God. And God will always take care of those who are faithful to Him. Are you in the faith? Do you know tonight if you died, you go to heaven? Number two, not only are you in the faith, but are you in the family? Are you a part of this local body? Are you involved serving, using your gifts, using your talents so that God can take you from here and send you around the world? Get involved. Be part of the family. Then as you're serving in the family, learn just to be faithful. Learn to be faithful. I thank the Lord for men of God who stayed faithful over all these years. Thank the Lord for Pastor Carter, for Brother Bobby, my pastor, and others that I've seen over the years as an example to follow. Dr. Burge, many years now in missions, when his health has not been very, very well, he's just been faithful. But that's not just for an elite group of people. That's for every born-again believer. You and I can be faithful. Let's learn to be faithful as we serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for tonight. Lord, I pray as we come to close that you would work in our hearts and life. And I pray, Lord, there's one here tonight that doesn't know you as your Savior. Lord, you have your will and way in their life. Lord, you help them to realize that the greatest thing in life is to know you as our Savior. Lord, I pray, help them make that decision tonight. Lord, I pray for those that are here, maybe not involved in church or not just kind of hit and miss, Lord, to get involved and help in ministry and encouragement to others. Then Lord, I pray for those that are here to learn to just be faithful. I pray for those, Lord, you're dealing in their hearts about going to a world that's lost and dying. Lord, we need laborers. You asked and said, we pray you, therefore, the Lord, the harvest, he'll send for laborers. Lord, such an opportunity in the day we live. Such a need for laborers. And I pray that you work in the hearts and lives of this group of people, this church, as they continue to send out laborers. Work that you call out laborers for the harvest field. Have your will away now as preacher comes. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Let's stand, please, with our heads bowed. We'll have an invitation tonight. I was thinking how many times through the years we've had a missionary come and speak to us and how God has gotten hold of the hearts of some of the listeners. And I've seen young men and women surrender to the mission field and be faithful as he preached tonight. All the great results has come from it. We've got churches started in America, across the sea, and everywhere else. And what looked like a little thing, God's made something great out of it. I preached for Brother Doug McCormick up in Dothan, Alabama, the other Sunday at their 30th homecoming. He and his wife sat here on about the third pew, and God got a hold of their heart about going to start a church. And what a tremendous, tremendous testimony that church is now after 30 years. So what would be the key? Their faithfulness to God. God used them. Preacher started off tonight saying you first got to be in the faith. You got to be saved. Be sure you are. Be sure you are. As Sister Johnson was singing the song, Search the Book Again, that's a powerful testimony. Be sure, be sure. Old Billy Sunday, the evangelist, used to say, going to church don't make you a Christian any more than going to the garage makes you a car. Some folks are mixed up on that. They got it in reverse. They got it backwards. You start first. Being born again, being saved. Hope tonight you look deep in your heart. You can not only give a testimony to others, but the assurance you have is a blessing to you. To know. Oh my, to know to be sure. That's so important. Appreciate Brother Lyons being with us. You think about growing up, mission kid, Africa, and so forth. Some of the experiences, yet they sound awful familiar to us. And then it turns out we all got to have that personal relationship with the Lord. Amen. Let Brother Lyons know you appreciate him being with us tonight. Pray for the ministry. He's helping a lot of mission works and missionaries. And, of course, many of you remember Brother Gene Burge. He, some of our early faith mission conferences, Brother Burge helped us with that. And he pray for his health now. He's got a lot of birthdays like some of the rest of us and begin to show up. But I was saying something to my wife today. She was telling me about somebody in need of prayer. I said, I hate to say it, but we're just wearing out. And I said, and I'm talking about myself too. But we keep on keeping on till the Lord shows us what to do. Amen.